A century ago, farmers could predict rain by watching ants build higher mounds. Sailors knew storms approached when seabirds flew inland. Children found their way home by following the moss on tree trunks. Today, we reach for our phones to check if it might rain in the next hour. We've traded an entire language, nature's language, for the convenience of apps and GPS. But what if that ancient literacy isn't just romantic nostalgia? What if learning to read the wind, clouds, and stars could fundamentally change how we experience being alive? This isn't about survival skills for wilderness emergencies. It's about recovering a way of seeing that makes the world endlessly fascinating. Every walk becomes a detective story. Every tree holds secrets. The sky isn't just pretty. It's talking, constantly, if you know how to listen. Stand still for a moment and notice what most people miss. That faint, musty smell on a cold morning when no fire is visible, it reveals a temperature inversion, warmer air trapping cooler air near the surface, creating a sandwich effect where sound, light, and even radio waves behave strangely. During these inversions, you'll hear distant airports and highways normally inaudible. Light bends differently, creating optical illusions where distant objects appear to levitate. In 1952, a severe inversion in London trapped pollutants close to the ground, creating deadly smog that killed over 11,000 people. Reading nature isn't merely intellectual curiosity. Sometimes it's survival. Understanding terrain starts with systematic observation. Shape, how land rises and falls, overall character, general feel, routes, valleys and ridges, tracks, movement patterns, edges, environment transitions, and details, specific stories. This method transforms visual noise into meaningful patterns. Walk straight up a Welsh mountain without understanding contours, and you'd scale cliffs unnecessarily. Once you learn the landscape's grammar, every hill makes sense. Trees are living archives recording decades of wind, sun, and storms. Sycamores and ashes mark floodplains. They love wet, fertile soils, but vanish near coasts. Beeches thrive on chalk, promising dry walking, while alders and willows signal wetness. Individual trees tell richer stories. They grow fuller on their southern, sun-facing side, phototropism, creating the tick effect, where north side branches grow vertically, while southern branches extend horizontally. Wind sculpts top branches dramatically, sweeping them in the prevailing direction. Exposed trees develop a wind tunnel effect, streamlined windward with straggly growth downwind. That solitary lone straggler branch typically points downwind, tugged by countless gales.
Storms leave signatures lasting centuries. Fallen trees align with wind paths, while survivors regrow conifers from tips, deciduous trees from lower limbs. Their upturned root balls form mound and dip formations, pointing toward the storm's origin. Bark holds clues. 18th century Iroquois observed darker, duller bark on north sides. Cut into a tree and growth rings run thicker north, thinner south. Trees don't just grow, they navigate, and we can read their maps. Every plant is an adaptation success story. Stinging nettles thrive only in phosphate-rich soil, marking human activity. Isolated patches signal ruins or abandoned structures. Pineapple weed marks disturbed ground. Plantains, nicknamed white man's footprint by Native Americans, flourish along well-trodden paths. Plants reveal direction through light relationships. In Ireland's Ballycroy National Park, heather-covered versus bare drainage ditch sides reveal south-facing versus north-facing aspects. Daisies flourish on open southern slopes but vanish on northern building sides.
Ivy reveals 6 navigational secrets. Juvenile ivy grows away from light toward host trees, often pointing south to north at tree bases. Mature ivy becomes sun-seeking, growing abundantly on southern sides. Its clinging roots avoid light, appearing more numerous on northern sides. Ivy grows more commonly near woodland edges than centers, guiding lost wanderers out. Leaf orientation differs. Southern leaves point downward to capture horizontal light, while northern leaves point horizontally to catch overhead light. Tinier organisms tell directional stories too.
Mosses thrive in shade on north-facing surfaces. Green algae colonizes north-facing signs while southern sides remain clean. Direct sunlight regularly dries southern surfaces, creating conditions too harsh for algae. The bright orange lichen Xanthoria parietina forms a natural compass, changing from vibrant gold in direct sunlight to duller green-gray in shade. These microscopic navigational aids work reliably across seasons and climates. Without atmosphere, Earth's sky would be black like the moon's. On clear days, the sky transitions from pure blue overhead to white at the horizon through to light scattering. This pattern is your baseline. Any deviation signals changing conditions. Weather prediction starts with wind and clouds. Check top to bottom, celestial bodies first, then atmospheric conditions, finally ground level details. Assess the wind's character, strength, direction, feel. A light but surprisingly cold wind might be northerly or very dry. Weather operates at two levels. Upper winds move steadily west to east like giant parents, pulling more changeable lower winds, the unruly children, along beneath. A weather front occurs when cold air replaces warm air, or vice versa, signaled by dramatic shifts in lower wind direction. Use the crosswinds method. Stand with your back to the wind and observe high clouds. If they move left to right, warm air and rain approach. Right to left indicates a cold front has passed and weather will improve. Same direction means no imminent change. Major wind direction shifts precede significant weather changes, and counterclockwise shifts typically mean worsening conditions. Higher cloud bases indicate drier air and less rain. Deepening clouds suggest deteriorating weather, while rising clouds signal improvement. Weather lore contains wisdom and nonsense. A rainbow at night, fair weather in sight, a rainbow at morn, fair weather all gorn, works because weather typically moves west to east, and rainbows appear opposite the sun, revealing where rain is located. Navigating by stars is surprisingly simple. The North Star, Polaris, sits directly above the North Pole. Find it using the Big Dipper's pointer stars, the two forming the bowl's outer edge. Polaris lies 5 times the distance between these pointers in their direction. Your latitude matches the North Star's angle above the horizon. At the North Pole, it's 90 degrees overhead. At the equator, it sits on the horizon. In England, at 50 degrees north, Polaris appears 50 degrees up. This allows quick latitude determination, used since ancient times. Unlike the sun, moon, and planets, stars rise at fixed horizon points. Mintaka, in Orion's belt, rises and sets within 1 degree of true east and west. For summer navigation, Aquila serves similarly. The sun reaches its highest point due south at true midday. Ancient cultures used these patterns for solar calendars, while Pacific navigators used sunrise and sunset as compasses. Any moon at its highest point is due south. Animals perceive far more detail than humans. A piece of stale bread in an open field attracts insects and birds immediately, while we'd walk right past it. Hawks spot tiny shrews from hundreds of feet up. Butterflies stop flying when clouds block the sun. Birds detect us long before we see them, creating bird plows, sequential flights that alert nearby animals to danger. Alarm calls are simple, high-pitched, and staccato, warning others without revealing the caller's location. Start by noticing visual clues, like birds hopping to higher branches when concerned. Learn to recognize companion calls, constant safety check-ins between birds. When this chatter suddenly stops, it signals danger. We live in a world that speaks constantly, but we've forgotten how to listen. Every element, animals, plants, rocks, water, light, sky, provides clues for predictions and deductions. The tragedy isn't losing this knowledge, it's convincing ourselves we don't need it. This isn't nostalgia, it's reclaiming our birthright to understand the world through direct observation. Notice which side of trees moss grows on. Watch where startled birds fly. Feel the wind and guess what weather it's bringing. In our technology-mediated world, reading nature directly is a radical act of presence. The world is speaking. Will you listen?